Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be having one of your favorite authors on the air with us today, Neil Donald Walsh, and he is here in the Pacific Northwest. He's in Oregon right now, Ashland, Oregon, which is a beautiful, beautiful area. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here with you.
You know, Neil, you are a man that has had quite an interesting career, and we may have some listeners that are aware of you, but don't know the history behind the Conversations with God. This is a special anniversary edition that has come out. This is the 10th year. You have, I mean, it's in I don't know how many languages around the world, and you have come out with Conversations with God, Book 3. It's an expanded anniversary edition of what has been previously done. Give us some background on how this evolved for you. How did Conversations with God come about?
Well, like many people, I have had my own share of challenges and difficulties in my life. And around 15 or 18 years ago now, time really moves incredibly fast.
That's the truth.
But around 15 or 17, 16 years ago, somewhere in there, I was moving through one of those periods when nothing made any sense in my life because I was having such extraordinary difficulties in every area of my life. I was having difficulties in the area of career because I had been downsized by the organization for which I worked, and during a time of bad economy as we have now, and I lost my job. In addition, I was having health problems. Some of those were problems from birth that had been reemerging with my heart and so forth, and other problems as well with my physicality. And finally, I was having problems in my relationships. So I realized, gosh, you know, nothing in my life is working, and I was pretty darn upset. And I was in one of those places where I began walking around asking the universe, you know, what does it take to make life work? And what have I done to deserve a life of such continuing struggle? If somebody please just tell me the rules. I'll play. Just give me the rule book. And that's where I was on a particular morning in February of, I believe it was 1992, if I have my years right here, when it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't sleep. I had gotten up in the middle of the night, and I was walking around the house just in that place. And I sat down on the couch. There was a yellow legal pad, as it happened, on the coffee table in front of me. And I picked up the legal pad, and I began writing for no apparent reason, actually, just to get the frustration out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I began writing a very angry letter to God. And I demanded, if you please, to know, you know, what is it that I don't understand here? And what do I have to do to make all of this come together in a way that makes sense? And by golly, I heard a voice in the middle of writing that letter over my right shoulder that began speaking to me of the things that you now see in Conversations with God. And that when I heard that voice, I thought, well, I'm hallucinating. I'm having a most extraordinary experience. But I couldn't help but listen nonetheless to what I was hearing, because it all started to make incredible sense to me. So I began writing down on the same yellow legal pad I was writing that angry letter on. I began writing down what I was hearing. And you know, what I was hearing was fascinating, but it was also bringing up other questions, as you might imagine. So
mm-hmm.
as I would, I want to say, listen to what I was receiving, I would ask other questions in my mind almost automatically. You know, what about this? Or how about that? Or I don't understand this. And no sooner would I ask a question than the complete answer would be given to me like a download all at one time, and I would have to race to write down the answer. Then I would ask another question and get another answer, and before I knew it, I was involved in a non-paper dialogue, which I later called Conversations with God. That voice, which was in the room, very much alive in the room to me, moved quickly inside of my total being. I call it it's the kind of like the voice of one's own thoughts, a voiceless voice, that speaks of things I've never dreamt of or could never have imagined, things I've never read anywhere else or referenced anywhere else, in many cases, some rather astonishing theological and spiritual constructions. So that's the long and the short of it. I stayed up half the night that night just writing down what I was hearing. The next night I was kind of motivated and moved. In the middle of the night I was awakened to get back to the yellow legal pad. And so I continued the dialogue. And I did that every night for about 2 weeks until I had many, many, many pages of handwritten notes. And then I continued that process not on a daily basis but every so often, once or twice a week, as I felt moved to do so, or if I would again be almost automatically awakened in the very, very early morning dawn hours, or pre-dawn hours, as it were. And before I knew it, over the course of several months, I had a slew of pages, I mean probably 6 or 8 tablets of yellow legal pads filled with handwritten dialogue. And finally, I was given the information, I was told directly, this will one day become a book. And I couldn't believe it, of course. I thought, yeah, of course, you and 100 other people are going to send your middle-of-the-night mental meanderings to a publisher who will no doubt say, hey, we got a guy here who's talking to God. We got to get this stuff out. But as unlikely as that scenario might seem, that's pretty close to what happened. I sent the notes to a lady who I had met, who was kind enough to keyboard them into a computer, and then I sent the typewritten notes to a publisher who, in fact, much to my surprise and shock, said exactly that, basically. You know, we need to get this out right away. And they put it on the fast track at their publishing house. It was published, and the rest, as they say, I guess, is publishing history. The book wound up selling what became a book. They turned it into a book. Became an international bestseller. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but just a matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
It was on the New York Times bestseller list for 2.5 years, and it sold over 7.5 million copies. All of the Conversations with God books combined have sold that many copies in 37 languages.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the short version.
Well, Neil, your material, the way that it's constructed, the conversation that came to you, the wisdom that was expressed to you, and some people might look at it and say, well, I don't know that it's so much wisdom, I want to challenge it, so on and so forth. It created a very provocative shift in the mindset of many people that was new to their experience. And the aspect of questioning, it's been my observation, is not readily learned. When we're little, it's automatic. We just do it. We get so excited about life, and usually the adults in the world say, oh, shut up and just listen, or don't say anything, be seen and not heard. It's not an unusual thing. And so after a while, people just don't ask the questions. And for you to have reached that point of openness where you said, I'm asking questions. I don't have the answers. I need some answers, some information. You were a wonderful pipeline for it to come through. How did this experience for you change your thinking?
Well, it in every way you could imagine, it changed my thinking dramatically from top to bottom. It immediately changed my idea of who I am, where I am, why I am where I am, what I'm doing where I am, the purpose of all of life, who and what God is. I mean, everything. My thinking changed overnight. if I was to embrace what I was hearing. Of course, I was at a complete option, total choice. I could have rejected everything and just said, this is nonsense. But the experience was more than just intellectual for me when I was receiving the information. It was emotional as well. I recall feeling filled with warmth and joy, a state of serenity that really led to tears, just the kind of quiet tears of joy we have when something extraordinarily wonderful is going on, and the kind of tears that you have when you're watching an incredibly good movie, or maybe at your daughter's wedding, those kinds of what I call the sweet tears. And I realized something extraordinary is happening here. So I decided to stop thinking negative thoughts about the experience, which I had at the outset. I thought, what's going on here? I began to do what I do when I go to the theater, suspend disbelief, mm-hmm. and just allow myself to embrace what I was receiving. And I found my life changing in every way you could imagine. Most importantly, my anger and my frustration disappeared virtually overnight, and I had a whole different outlook, an entirely different perspective on life itself, the reason for life itself, the purpose of life itself, the functioning, how it all works, and how I could participate in it in an entirely different way. So when you ask me what's changed, I could answer you in one word, really, everything.
This, I would feel, would give a lot of hope to a lot of people. There isn't a day that goes by where there is not someone somewhere asking the questions that you ask, even feeling a sense of desperation and total confusion and actually an emptiness that can be scary to people. But the reality is when you have that emptiness, that gives you an opportunity to be filled, as you were filled, with insights and understanding. Now, not everybody's going to go through the experience you had, and so your books, your material, is something that I think can really give a nutrition, if you will, to the heart, mind, and spirit, allowing someone to realize that they are not alone, that this is a journey that they're experiencing, and part of that journey is not just self-discovery in the sense of just being aware of the self, but also in the discovery of who and what you are, that you fit into the bigger picture that is quite phenomenal in ways and manners that you never would ever have expected, as it happened with you.
Yes, and I'm very convinced that this experience that I had was not ever intended just for me. It became very clear to me relatively early in the experience that from the beginning, it was intended to be shared with all the world, if I could say that without sounding too grandiose. And I got very clear about that mm-hmm. very quickly into the experience because it actually said to me, the dialogue actually said, this will one day become a book, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so I realized, and I've since come to be profoundly clear about the fact that it was never intended to be a Neil Donald Walsh experience, but wasn't in fact meant to be shared with the world at large. So it didn't surprise me, in retrospect at least, that many millions of copies of this book in 37 languages would be sold around the world. I couldn't have anticipated such a thing at the outset. I didn't even think it would be published, actually. But it became a bestseller within 3 weeks of its publication. So I think that there is a higher hand involved here.
I think you are correct in as much as so much of the old is dying away. We are watching an evolution that is creating a time factor, incorporating speed because of necessity for change. And I see it in so many levels, whether it is age-old institutions that were considered never ever to shift or change, they were going to be there forever, to little children whose comprehension, whose talents, whose abilities are just utterly amazing to watch evolve. I look at these variables, and this was so timely, and here it is now 10 years later. You have come out with two other books, Conversations with God and Uncommon Dialogue, Living in the World with Honesty, Courage, and Love. And then the other one is Conversations with God, an uncommon dialogue, embracing the love of the universe. Now, when these two were done, and these are brand new, this is celebrating the 10th anniversary of Conversations with God, why were they put into separate issues, Neil? What is it that you were wanting to convey by having these two new books?
Well, I want to make something clear. They're not new books. They're what you're holding in your hand are books 2 and 3 of the original trilogy, a slew of new material that has been added by me interlinearly. Not really interlinearly, actually. I wrote several new sections to each book, commenting on the book 10 and 15 years later, making some comments on the original material within the context of today, as opposed to when they were originally published 15 or 10 years ago. So what you have there are books 2 and 3 of the original trilogy, made available for those who may never have read them or may never have gotten to them, with brand new material, a considerable amount of new material inside from myself as the author, republished as anniversary editions. So that's what you're holding there. It's not really, they're not really brand new books, but new publications of those prior documents.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about space. This is something that is in Living in the World with Honesty, Courage, and Love. And you just asked the simple question of, tell me about space. And the first sentence of response was, space is time, and there's a pause, demonstrated, period. Let's talk about that for a minute, because space and time are topics that, whether someone's a scientist or you're a layperson, they are fascinating words to play with. Give us your rendition of that.
Well, the space-time continuum is a context that has been created by the movement of energy in a way that produces a contextual field within which all of life can experience itself. And the space-time continuum is probably... probably the greatest single gift to all living things, including, obviously, human beings, because it allows life itself to notice itself in relative terms. To clarify what I'm trying to say, in the ultimate reality, everything is absolutely so and absolutely what it absolutely is. That is, we're talking about the realm of the absolute, where there is only one time and only one space, everything is happening right here, right now. That's difficult for the human mind to comprehend and to embrace, but it in fact happens to be true. And even now, some physicists are coming to believe that really in the highest sense, at the grandest level, when we look at it from way, way far back, we see that there is only the golden moment of now. There is only right here, right now. Having said that, the space-time continuum is the outcome or the outfall of the movement of the essential energy that is life itself in such a way and at various frequencies, allowing life to, if I could put it this way, divide itself up into individual, individually experienceable units of measure that we can call yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that we can call in our language minutes and hours and seconds and weeks and months and years. That we can call it here and there, and the space in between.
Neil, are you still with me? Okay, I think something has happened to Neil's connection with me. This is Donna Sebel. I think somehow or another he ended up being disconnected because I cannot hear him at all, and I'm hoping Seth, my engineer, is close by. Hi, this is Donna Sebel, and we have had a problem with the telephone connection with Neil. Somehow or another, he started sounding garbled, and then the telephone line quit. So Seth, my engineer, is going to be reconnecting with him so we can continue our conversation. Conversations with God is a book that has been just around the world in 37 different countries. It's exceptionally well done, and it is something that, regardless of your cultural background, regardless of whatever you may have been taught to think or feel, it provides some thinking processes that actually, I think in many ways, proved to be very liberating. And it is something that is going to empower you as an individual. And the two books, the brand new ones, celebrating the anniversary, as Neil said, these are materials that are expanding on what he wrote 15 years ago. So here you've got Conversations with God, Living in the World with Honesty, Courage, and Love, and also Conversations with God, An Uncommon Dialogue, Embracing the Love of the Universe. Now, you can just Google Neil Donald Walsh, and you will find that this material will come up. There will be a lot of additional information. But people from all kinds of faiths have found the books that he has been privileged to be the, the communicator for, that they have found it very comforting. It hasn't created a conflict in their thinking. It's actually helped to expand their thinking. So I know that there was a break that went on there. I apologize for the interruption. We are trying to get back with Neil. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we are having some weather problems, and every once in a while that can affect the telephone lines, even with modern technology. So as soon as we can get him back, we will. While we are waiting to reconnect with Neil, I want to mention to those of you who are listening to the show, we have a drawing for three gifts with Teresa Tapp's Fit and Fabulous Wellness System. Now, Teresa very graciously is offering three of these gifts. Each of them are worth over $100. It will include her skin tightening brushing system, which I use. It is wonderful. And then the 15-minute workout, which I swear by. It's toned me up 25 inches overall. So now that everything has been uncorrupted in my email system, well, all you have to do is send me an email. Send it to the Donna Sebo Show, and that needs to be in the subject line. Put the code DSS30 in that subject line, and I need to have your contact name and information. And we're going to be going right back to Neil. So do that. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Neil, we're back on the line.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Something happened there, technically.
Oh, well, that's not unusual. By goodness, I don't care how wise and wizardry what we do with our wizard-like talents, but technology has a way of burping every once in a while, and I've had a share of that just the last week. So I'm glad we were able to get back online with you. Let's talk about Living in the World with Honesty, Courage, and Love. You bring up... Go ahead, Neil. I'm sorry.
I was simply going to say that I have come to learn in my life, and it's been a long learning process, something that I really did know when I was young, but didn't. I mean, I did, but I didn't, in a sense. And that's about honesty. I've always known, you know, that we need to be honest. And try to always tell the truth and all that good stuff. And I think most people know that. But how complete that needs to be, how totally and utterly absent of any kind of deception, especially, I might add, self-deception, that we need for that to be, it never really occurred to me until I moved into my adult years and my adult life, and even then, until most recently. I have come to understand that it is absolutely accurate to say the truth shall set you free, and nothing else will. So I have had to unlearn 50 years of living on the planet, during which time I had learned to fib or tell white lies or evade the truth or just not directly answer or even kid myself and enter into all kinds of mental strategies and approaches in order to cope with life.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get what I wanted, in order to produce the outcomes, or at least attempt to produce the outcomes, to which I was most attached. And of course, the sad part about that is that for the most part, those outcomes were not produced. I did not get what I wanted out of the situation, and I almost always got myself into more trouble, more difficulty, more personal conflict than I ever could have imagined if I had simply just told the truth. So I've learned the hard way what Brad Blanton likes to talk about in his wonderful book, Radical Honesty, which is, you know what? It's best just to tell the truth all the time about everything, no matter how bad you think it makes you look, or how silly you think it makes you look, or how vulnerable you think it makes you look, or whatever other reason you might have, and including, I might add, no matter how much you think that you're going to hurt the feelings of another. That's, by the way, the single greatest excuse for not telling the truth. Well, I would tell the truth, but Jimmy just can't handle it. Or I don't know what Mary would do if she ever heard that or knew that. So we use all sorts of excuses and reasons for not living in integrity. And so I've learned in these recent days and times, and I was told quite directly in conversations with God, without equivocation, that the answer to so many of the life dilemmas I was facing was simply to live a life of integrity, that is, to tell the truth. And not only, integrity does not only mean telling the truth, it means also doing what you say, saying what you do, following through, keeping your commitments, and in a lot of ways, being just that, in integrity with yourself and the world.
I'm going to share a story with you, Neil. I was, I guess I was about 9 years of age, and I can remember standing out on the back porch of our family home, and I was in California at the time, and looking up at the sky, and I had just gone through some Sunday school classes of some kind, I don't remember what it was, and it was talking about telling the truth, and that you shouldn't lie, so on and so forth, and I can remember putting out a challenge, and looking up at the stars and saying, okay, I've got to test this out, I'm going to challenge this. And I got kicked like you wouldn't believe in certain experiences, and I deliberately set out to see what would happen if I lied. And I got caught big time. Now, I was about 9, and I said, nah, got to check this out again. I was a little bit obstinate. But when you were talking, that I had totally forgotten about that, and that rose to the surface of my mind. And it just made me chuckle because I think we're so much like children in so many ways. We want to test the waters. And your story brings to mind a story about a man in India who was told by a guru after a certain experience which he rescued him from, and he wanted to repay the guru, and the guru said, now you are to tell the truth. No matter what comes up, just tell the truth. And there were a series of circumstances. He was put in jail. He told the truth about something. The guru said, if you will just tell the truth, it will all come out. And the man ended up coming into a courtroom before a judge, and the judge asked him pertinent questions, and he said, this is the truth. I am not lying to you. And he laid everything out just exactly the way he had been done, and people had put him in jail because he had told the truth and everything else. And the judge looked at him, and he said, why is it that you are doing this? And he said, my guru told me this, and he gave him the name of the guru, and the judge looked at him and said, I know the guru, I wish I had more people that were like you. Case dismissed. The guy was out of the situation. And I think of just these two things. One's a very personal experience that I had when I was 9 years old, and then the other one is a true story about someone that had an experience with a guru in India. Your story is so poignant, yet there is an automatic part, as you said, we've been taught to survive, that telling and covering things up are appropriate. That is a real challenge for someone to be able to deal with, to admit that either they did something wrong or whatever. That is a tough challenge to be able to meet, Neil, but at the same time, it can be very liberating when you're honest about it, like you have been.
I agree with everything you've said. People have a deep investment in looking good and protecting themselves. And when they let go of all that, life can change in extraordinary ways very, very rapidly. So I agree with everything you've just said.
Neil, I know we're just about out of time here. How can people, your site, is it just neildonaldwalsh.com?
Yes, they can get to it. There's a shortcut that's easy to remember, and people don't have to worry about how to misspell or spell my name.
Okay.
Just use the initials, my initials, ndwhome.com, ndwhome.com. We'll get them right to my homepage.
Oh, fabulous. Okay. Then people can go there, and I know the books are available in all of the major bookstores. You can go online. You can go to Amazon. And, Neil, if you could leave a thought for my listeners in this holiday season, what would you like to leave them with?
I think that the idea that if we can move through our lives with a deep, deep awareness that there's only one of us. I know that that's so trite and now being almost oversaid and tends to lose its flavor like gum on the bedpost overnight. Oh, yeah, another guy telling us we're all one. But, in fact, I am very, very clear that it is the single idea that would change the world overnight. And it happens on a person-by-person basis, on an individual level. So what I try to leave people with is an idea of challenging themselves. What would life look like? What could it look like if I really felt that you were me, I was you, what I do for myself, I do for you. What I do for you, I do for myself. And conversely, what I fail to do for you, I fail to do for me. If I could see myself in that new context, are there any behaviors at all that I might shift from yesterday to tomorrow? It's a wonderful challenge for the holiday season, and I myself take that challenge repeatedly. It's something you fall back from if you don't remain vigilant, but I began to shift and completely readjust my interactions with other people from that place of, you know what, I wonder if they're feeling the way I would feel if I was hearing this from someone else. And so I think that's what I would say to people is, gee, I wonder what life would be like if you just took the oneness challenge and allowed yourself to think of the other person truly and really, not just fictionally, as an extension of yourself.
Neil Donald Walsh. Neil, it's been a delight having you as a guest again on the show. I wish you continued success with your new books and whatever else you may be evolving through. He also has a wonderful children's book. Neil Donald Walsh. Conversations with God. This is Donna Sebo. Again, Neil, thank you for being my guest. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are now open. Yes, you can call in right now at this time. Here are the telephone numbers, 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And I want to repeat, I was talking about this when we were having the technical problems with Neil's telephone. Teresa Tapp, don't forget, if you want to be a part of this fabulous drawing and you want to look forward to being fit and fabulous in 2009, Teresa's giving away three gifts worth $100 plus. All you have to do is send me an email to the Donna Sebo Show, put that in the subject line, code DSS30. That's right, you use code DSS30. And I need your name and contact information. Send that along to me, and it's all going to go into what I call the EPOT drawing. So send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. You also can use the email cclassics@juno.com. That's cclassics@juno.com. Tell your friends. Anybody can get into this drawing. This is really awesome. Also, for those of you who are in Tacoma, Washington, I'm going to be appearing at the Dickens Festival in Stadium. And, of course, this is in Tacoma, Washington. And this is a one-day event. It's coming up this Saturday. I'm so excited. I'm going to be appearing at the King's Bookstore from 11 until 5. And I'm going to be doing many readings there. And part of the proceeds from the readings will be going to the Phoebe House, which is a new facility for people in need in the community of Tacoma. Now, all you have to do to check out information is go to the website dickensfestival.net. That's dickensfestival.net. And you will be able to get all the details on all of the activities that are going on. And let's hope that the weather holds here in the Pacific Northwest, because it's definitely cold. But let's hope it's not raining. If it does, it just gives us a little light baptism of the liquid gold. And so we can be around in our costumes, be about walking. So bundle up, bring the kids. It's a lot of fun. Clowns, all kinds of things are going to be going on. You're not going to want to miss it. And it's a wonderful, wonderful family event. So do come if you can. Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are open, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Give me a buzz and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I'm an information resource, and I'm delighted to share my skills with you during this time on the air. Do you believe that someone can become invisible? Well, if you're a Star Trek fan, as I have been for many, many years, I just love the show, the old one as well as the new ones. I think Gene Roddenberry was such an incredible visionary, as well as all of the people that were part of his writing staff. He had these wonderful imaginations, and they just laid a groundwork for science fiction production in various forms of media that is awesome all the way around. And the invisibility cloak, remember the stuff about the Klingons? Yes, they had that, and all kinds of other unique civilizations had their specialties as well. Well, guess what? 2 years ago, there were a team of engineers that absolutely amazed the world by developing the technology needed to make an invisibility cloak. That's right, an invisibility cloak. It exists, ladies and gentlemen. Researchers today are creating laboratory-engineered wonder materials that can conceal objects from almost anything that travels as a wave. And this includes light and sound at the subatomic level, matter itself. And if you think that this cloaking technique applies only to the intangible, well, this year apparently there was a plan devised for using cloaking techniques to protect shorelines from giant incoming waves. Does that sound a little bit like science fiction? Well, it's science fiction becoming real. There's an engineer, Mr. Zhang, whose University of California at Berkeley lab is very much involved in this work, and he said, we can design materials that have properties that never exist in nature. Well, you have to know something about nature to know how you can manipulate it, so it goes hand in hand as far as I'm concerned. Now, these substances that are man-made are called metamaterials, metamaterials. And they have very unusual properties because of their size and shape. Interestingly enough, not because of their chemistry. Now, it depends on how they're composed. Composed in a certain way, they can shuffle waves, whether they're light, sound, or water, away from an object. To cloak something, concentric rings of the metamaterial are placed around the object to be concealed. Tiny structures, they say, it could be loops or cylinders, within these rings divert the incoming waves around the object, preventing both reflection and absorption. So the waves can meet up again on the other side, appearing just as they would if nothing were there. Fascinating stuff. Now, the very first one was designed by engineers at Duke University and Imperial College London, and it only worked with microwaves, and that was a very narrow band at best. Dr. Zhang and his colleagues ended up developing metamaterials that can bend what we perceive visibly as light backwards. And it's a big challenge because they can be so very, very tiny. So the engineers had to devise cloaking components that were tiny as well. So they just have been working on more and more things. And this past March, two men, physicists of Polytechnic University of Valencia in Spain, presented a design that would allow a cloaked submarine to hide from sonar. Interesting stuff, don't you think? The technology, they believe, also would allow an orchestra patron sitting behind a cloaked column to hear music as clearly as one in an unobstructed spot. They're looking at all kinds of applications with this. Now, in September, that's right, this past September, French and British physicists presented a plan for using these metamaterials to shield shorelines from the impact of massive waves. Now, what it's going to look like is a scaled-up acoustic cloak, concentric circles of posts surrounding a hidden object. When a wave would hit them, the posts would redirect it around the object without ever breaking the wave. And the researchers say that such a device could be used to protect isolated spots in the ocean, like drilling platforms or even some islands that are very vulnerable, or even coastal regions vulnerable to tsunamis. What about a place like New Orleans? Things like this. Disney put out a movie on Atlantis, and in that movie, it was an animated movie, there was this description of a shield that was done by these robotic giants, an energy shield that kept Atlantis totally protected underneath water for centuries. That was the idea that was conveyed. Well, guess what? They're trying to put that very idea into place. Now, the concept is growing. They are finding that metamaterials could be used to divert an atomic wave the same way the invisibility cloak redirects a light wave. They said if such a device could be scaled up to human-sized world, we have no idea what that could be, it might be able to steer a bullet around a bulletproof cloak. So all of these wild fantasies, people said, oh, what wonderful imagination these writers have. Arthur C. Clarke is one of those. And bless his soul, he passed on not too long ago. Remember, everything starts with a thought, a concept in the mind of someone. Everything does. And so if someone can visualize it and see it, it's quite possible, good, bad, or indifferent, because it is the thought that is the originator of the development of the action. So invincibility, invisibility, could create an invincibility. Very fascinating stuff. But I also like to say, when something's created, there's always somebody in the background that's going to see, how can we work with this, good, bad, or indifferent? How can we work against it as well? So it's just fascinating stuff. That's just a little bit of science today. Hey, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to let you know who's going to be with me tomorrow. We are traveling to France. Yes, and what are we going to be discussing? What better subject? Wine. Absolutely. We're going to be talking with Robert V. Camuto. He put out a book recently, Corkscrewed, Adventure in the New French Wine Country. What a wonderful book it is. Talks about how they are changing a lot of the ways that they're working with wine over there, so it's more organic. But the wonderful stories of the people that have developed their wineries, and hey, this is a global business. Their wines are traveling around the world, so I think you'll really enjoy it. I don't know, here in the Pacific Northwest, we're known for our wines as well. Hey, we're going to take a break for a moment. Give me a buzz if you'd like to interact and get some insight into your life. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I wanted to be able to share some information with you that came across my desk, and I'm pulling it up. Where in the blue blazes did I put it? Anyway, some real neat tips regarding how to save money and do different things. Also, how to get more for your money during the Christmas holidays. Goodness gracious, all of us are at one time or another anxious about how do we save money, where do we go to get the best deals. And in our world today, because of the Internet, we have access to so much information. Now, I wanted to share some information with you regarding the holidays, and there are so many electronic gadgets out there, and we all want to go out and get them, the latest toys. If you've got a member of your family that just has to have the latest electronic toys in their life, you're going to say, oh, I'd love to do this. But look at the price tags on some of these things. Now, what you want to do, you may want to keep your eye open for returned items that are fully restored to perfect working order. I was watching a program earlier today on cell phones and how so many of them are recycled back into the market because they're perfectly wonderful to use. They're just an older model, and they've been upgraded with the latest software, but they're on sale for a lot less. So it also helps keep a lot of these gadgets that have been refurbished out of the landfill. Now, watch out for the word refurbished. Refurbished isn't used most of the time. They're just returns that have been opened and so can't be sold for the full price. But be wary of similar products marked reconditioned or recertified, which means they were broken and then fixed by a third party. Very important. Three words. Refurbished means they're returns that have just been opened and can't be sold for the full price. Reconditioned or recertified means they were broken and then fixed by a third party. That's very important. Also, major retailers often stock refurbished items but don't always put them out on the floor, so you might want to ask a salesperson if they have anything like that hiding in the back that you can buy. Also, you can go directly to a manufacturer if you've got a specific brand of gadget that you're interested in getting. Check the manufacturer's website. A lot of the goods that are returned directly to them, they're in perfect working condition. They'll sell them off cheaply to try to get some of the return out of them, some money back. So check about this. And when they're asking you about a warranty, you don't have to buy one, but when they give you a refurbished item, usually there is a warranty with it, but ask so that you'll find out. You can always get an extended protection plan if you want. But if you ask about an extended warranty, if the retailers offer that, then you know that they believe in what they've got, they have faith in what they have produced, and so you can feel confident they'll stand behind their warranty. And that's some very, very good information. So there are just a few tips that were passed along to me that I thought you might be interested in being aware of. And then I became aware of some sites that I thought you might like, and I'm going to share more of these with you. But with the remaining time that we have, I would say I've got some information regarding flights and things like that which I can get into. But I wanted to tell you about a site called thecouponclippers.com. Now, this site is just huge. It has about 1,600 coupons at any time. A woman by the name of Rachel Woodard put it together. Now, you cannot print coupons from the site. You order them. There's a tiny handling fee that goes along with it. Now, you may say, why should I pay for getting coupons? Well, apparently, you're going to save a lot of money. You can order anything from a well-recognized name like Betty Crocker products to, you know, anything that has to do with electronics. And they will send you, if there are any coupons on that, they'll send them to you for a small fee. And you may find that the face value of the coupons is going to save you a lot of money. There's a woman, Jamie McConnell, who's a saleswoman who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she said she just saves money every week when she uses the coupon clippers. So this is just a website. Go ahead and peruse it if you're a coupon kind of person, and you'll be able to find out if this is something that is really going to work for you. And there's also a restaurant, a site called restaurant.com, And you can get all kinds of things there, certificates, you know, get money off with coupons, and just check these places out. If you're really looking at saving money, and there's so many other wonderful things that I'm going to want to share with you. We are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Join me tomorrow for a wine excursion in France, right here, live on bbsradio.com. Talk with you then, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.